The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we have real football starting tonight. And we'll have gambling talk and fantasy talk and funny talk and just a little bit of everything. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Thursday.
Yes!
Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, R-E-A-L, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. It's a Thursday, not too far from the weekend. We got NFL tonight, and we got a ton of guests. It's going to be a fun show. Christopher Harris is going to join us at 4:30 to talk a little fantasy football, so he's back. Brad Powers is going to join us at 5:30 to talk a little college football betting action. And our buddy Craig Gass in studio.
No, not in studio. He's going to call in.
He's going to call in? Okay. Yeah. Well, it says in studio on
here. Oh, sorry. I thought he was in studio.
No, he's going to call. He texted me this morning and asked if he could call in. He's flying. He flew into town today, in fact, and he's doing a benefit, basically. It's not even a benefit, really. It's just a free show. And as much as we clown on the guy, Arian Foster is the one who put it all together. And it's for anyone who's been displaced by the hurricane or anyone who's you know, been helping put the city back together in the aftermath. Just kind of a way to distract people from what's been going on. And he's going to come on and tell people how to get some free tickets to that show that's going on tonight.
Isn't that kind of everybody? I mean, everybody's either been affected or helped.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. But that's cool. So be good to have him on. Hadn't talked to him in a while. So, going to be awesome, man. And we got real football tonight.
I said this to Barry and Joel. I prepped my whole show today.
Yeah? Didn't even mention Patriots and Chiefs?
Well, I mean, I've obviously been looking at the football game stuff, but I didn't think about that the game was tonight because I didn't remember that today was Thursday. Yeah. I swear I haven't known what day it is since the hurricane.
Well, since we were in Vegas.
Yeah.
I've kind of been confused every single day. And the only way I know is that I look at my damn calendar on my computer each morning so that I know what day it is. But
I was like, oh, yeah, there's real football tonight.
Yeah, I'm very proud that I have not screwed up the day in the open yet because that's going to happen. If things continue the way they are, I'm going to come in here on a Thursday and say, it's a what are the odds Wednesday on the Blitz. No, it's not.
Well, I'm glad glad that seemingly getting back to normal. Although, I'll say this, knock on wood, the weather's so great today, it almost doesn't feel like it's summer anymore, right?
No, it feels awesome. I was telling you off air, this is the first time I've been able to actually get out and run this morning since we got back from Vegas, and it was awesome out there. It felt great. But it kind of reminded me, though, I don't know if you weren't here for Ike, but like for a month after Ike, we had weather like this. It was like we had to go through all the crap, and all of a sudden it was just beautiful for like a month. So I hope that happens.
I think, like for most people in the country, summer is April through, is June through August.
Right.
But for us, it's like April through October.
Yeah.
People don't realize that.
Yeah.
And man, it's really nice today. I'll take this all the time.
So, yeah, as long as we can get this. But 713-780-ESPN. Is your number. But yeah, I'm a lot of people asking, are you going to bet the game tonight? I don't have any opinion on. In fact, when I turned in my pregame picks today, I didn't have a single NFL play this weekend. The only one I was close on was Texans-Jags under. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little worried that they're going to come out all emotional and might get a couple quick touchdowns, and then Bortles is going to Bortles, and suddenly you look up and it's 24-20 and they've gone over.
So you're telling me you're not playing any NFL football week one?
No. I mean, I might change my mind. As far as my picks go, I don't have any. I might change my mind when we get to Sunday if I see something I like.
Oh, you mean your picks in that office pool?
No, I'm talking about for pregame.
Oh, okay.
I just did three college picks. So,
okay.
And if you want those, they're on pregame.com, and every dollar I make is going to flood relief from those. So I'm not going to make a dime off of picks. It's all going to go to charity. So, but those are my three best plays of the week.
Well, that's mighty, mighty generous of you.
I've already mentioned one of them on air. So I have UTSA plus 16.5. That's a pretty solid play for me.
Yeah.
But the others are all there, including a game no one would ever look at.
It's one of those. Yeah, I was, I looked over the NFL lines, and there's not a lot that I was in love with either. I almost picked the Bills -9 against the Jets because the Jets are so horrible. But then you realize, Nathan Peterman is going to be playing quarterback for the Bills, and that's not significantly better than what the Jets are running out there.
Yeah.
You know, I've almost pushed a button on the Falcons a couple times because now you can give up a touchdown and get even money.
Yeah.
With the Falcons. And I'm like, well, that's tempting. I've been tempted by the Bengals. You give up 3 with the Bengals and you get even money against the Ravens at home.
That one I looked at. And I keep looking at that. The line tonight keeps going up and up and up. And I'm like, yeah, the Patriots are the better team. But would I really want to give up if it gets to 10? Wouldn't I feel pretty good about the Chiefs coming?
I think I'd have to if it got to 10. I don't think it'll get to 10.
No, but it was like 9.5 is the last I saw.
Now I'm seeing, it's different for every side. I see 9, plus 9 at -125. So it looks like it's going the other way. But the NFL pick that I like this week probably the most is Carolina. They're on the road against San Francisco and they give up 5.5, less than a touchdown.
Yeah, that seemed. Yeah, I remember last year betting like a fiend against the 49ers and getting clocked week one.
Yeah, well,
the last 2 years. So
yeah,
713-780-ESPN. Rob asks, is DraftKings illegal in Texas now? I hope not, since you've got like 4 live reads for him today.
DraftKings. Perfectly legal in Texas.
Yeah, until they're basically operating until there's an actual ruling.
Yep.
So, yeah. But, well, there you go. 407.
That did not take long.
No. What was that energy drink?
Coffee.
That was one of your weaker ones.
Yeah, it wasn't very strong.
It's,
this must be Barry Laminack's phone in here.
Uh-oh. Do you know his passcode?
I don't.
That's too bad.
It's got probably like a fingerprint code. Yeah, I don't know his password, but he is going to be really sad that he doesn't have
it. Oh, can you access the camera without unlocking it? You can start taking pictures and stuff.
I don't know how to use this phone.
It's an Android, right?
Yeah, it's a Samsung. I wouldn't
know anything about that myself. So, well, Barry, if you're in the car, you might want to turn your ass around and come get your phone.
Yeah, Barry, you'll need that.
Yeah, it's not like we can text or tweet you anyway.
Right.
To come back and get it.
Right. Man, a lot of good college football this weekend. That Oklahoma-Ohio State game. It's going to be a fun weekend for football. And although God knows how
I think TCU-Arkansas might be pretty
good, too. Yeah, I think that's going to be a very interesting game.
I think USC-Stanford's a good game. I think Georgia-Notre Dame has the potential to be a good game.
Yeah.
And I think UH-Arizona has potential to be a good game. So, I mean, at least a game that I'm interested in watching, seeing what happens.
Yeah, well, I'm always interested in UH. It's just I don't know what they're going to be. I really don't know what they're going to be this year. And there he is. Yeah. Come on in. Come get it. You're okay. Barry Laminack, ladies and gentlemen. He who forgot his phone.
It happens.
Hey, at least we were nice enough to tell you. We didn't say, hey, let's hide it.
How'd you get? Oh, how'd you get word?
Not with my dad.
Oh, okay. That's me. Every time I walk out the door, you slap that phone, keys, and wallet. It's like the 1, 2, 3, and then that's when I can leave. I couldn't figure out how to use that. You don't have an iPhone. You've got you got the other kind. So I didn't even know how to take a D-pic for you. Sorry.
That'd have been a fun thing for him to wake up to.
Yeah.
713-780 ESPN is your number. Your Astros pull off another one last night, so 7 in a row.
Man, looking good. And McCullers wasn't great, but he, for his first start back,
he looked closer to good McCullers than bad McCullers.
It was good enough. I mean, and you hope that's something to build on, right? It wasn't a total disaster. And
he gave you 5 good innings and then got tired. And that's
And I don't know that McCullers, by the end of this year, I don't know if he can work up to going seven innings. Well, he's barely been able to do it all year.
When he was good, he was basically pitching five really good innings and then maybe a third. But even during that stretch where he was giving up one run, it was five innings. So if you get that out of him, that's fine. So, how about Urban Meyer calling out coaches like Herman for blaming the talent they inherited? Did you see that? That was kind of strange.
It was kind of strange, but it's also kind of strange for Tom Herman to talk about what he inherited, because it ain't like the cupboard's bare, bro. You've got some really good players on that Texas team, and I understand, you know, maybe it's not exactly fitting what you're doing. Like, Shane Buechele's not his ideal quarterback, but he's the closest thing that they've got to a ready quarterback. But
he's not a pig.
No, he's all right. He's
a pretty solid player.
And you've got you've got Puna Ford, you've got Malik Jefferson. These are like really quality players on defense. Your left tackle is projected to be a top five pick in the NFL. The cupboard is far from bare. I think it was a bad look by Tom Herman to even say that.
So yeah, I agree with you.
Like, whatever those guys are, that's who you've got this year. So you might want to, instead of telling them how much they suck, you might want to try to coach them up, coach.
So the quotes were from CBS Sports, but he was asked again about, this time he was asked in his presser about Lincoln Riley and how he's inherited his team from Bob Stoops, and this is what he said.
Obviously, following Coach Stoops is a tall order. I think the thing that I've advised my coaches when they go into positions and take new spots is that always be extremely complimentary. Never talk as if those players aren't your players. They're, and obviously he was elevated from inside the staff. But when I hear coaches say, well, it's not, these aren't my guys, or, wait till he gets his guys in there, I cringe. Whose guys do you think they are once you become the head coach? They're officially your guys, and many of you say, I do. And so that's advice, and I don't know if that's pertinent in this situation because they are his guys. But that's just advice. So when I hear that, you gotta be kidding me. Why would a coach say that? Because what do you think those players are doing? Those players are listening. So they are your guys. That's my advice to him, and not that he needs my advice. I think that's kind of an interesting. You don't see that very often where you get to hand it off to who you want to hand it off to. That's a pretty good setup for him.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was a bad look for Coach Herman because he's the one who's been hyping this team up and then all of a sudden, it's not going to be fixed overnight.
Listen.
Wait a minute.
I hate to say this, but what he's got now is more, at least from a recruiting standpoint and like a prospect standpoint, it's more talent than he had last year at UH. Obviously you've got to play a tougher schedule, but it's your job to make those guys – the best that they can be.
Well, and if you're going to complain about this, why aren't you complaining about all the talent Tony Levine left you when you got to UH?
Right.
Because those guys, that worked out for you.
And by the way, if Charlie Strong would have had Alabama talent, Charlie Strong would still be at Texas. Like, it's nothing. No one takes over a new job and it's just a perfect situation. You know what I'm saying? Lincoln Riley's getting a pretty good gig because his guy walked away when it was
right.
He was still in pretty good shape. It's like when it's rare that a coach leaves a program on his own accord while the program's in really good shape.
Yeah.
And it's rare that a coach gets fired when a program's in really good shape, except for Mack Brown, who it was in pretty good shape and apparently not good enough for Texas, who may be having remorse on that, going back a ways. But that's just an odd thing for Tom Herman to say. And like you said, he's done nothing but praise this team all offseason. Then you get out there and there's live bullets fired one time and you come out on the wrong end and you start complaining about the talent. Bro, that's a really bad look in my opinion.
Well, no matter what you inherited enough talent where you shouldn't have lost to Maryland at home. That's the thing. But, I like Coach Herman. He'll get it turned around there. But I think that was kind of a bad look. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Lots of stuff to get to. So if you want to get in, next segment's going to be your time.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. If you are looking to improve the way your backyard looks, whether it's the pool deck or the patio or even maybe out in front of your driveway, but you don't want to tear everything out and start over because that's expensive. Well, guess what? Carstone Overlay will take care of that for you. It gives you a superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. Troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored, so it looks great. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on residential and commercial projects, and they can help you save money. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Their Best Picks report certified each of the last 5 years. This is the kind of company you want to work with. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay to get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check them out online, AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. Or give them a call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
It's the same about me. There's something in your way, and now somebody's gonna pay. And if you can't get what you want, well, it's all because of me. Now dance, dance, man, I never had a chance.
The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident,
not once,
and male golfer, female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Got it in my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number. Squeeze in a call. Matt wants to weigh in on Tom Herman. What's up, Matt?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to
hey,
you.
I'll admit I'm a Texas fan, Longhorn grad. But I kind of missed what Herman said that he's getting so much flack for. Is it the pixie dust comments that he's getting? The fact that he's not going to come in here and 9 months and sprinkle pixie dust over the program and turn everything around? Is that what people are pointing their finger at? Or did I miss something in particular?
Do we have the actual Herman quote?
No, I can go get it.
Yeah,
I can
find those.
Look for it. But yes, I think that's what Urban Meyer was talking about.
I do think
about.
That's what he was talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's talking about the culture and everything else and not just the players, but it's just a bad look, man. And, you know, I know because there's some Texas fans will just defend him no matter what. But realistically, I love Tom. That's one where he shouldn't have said that. He really shouldn't have. It comes off looking bad, and it comes off as looking a little bit petty. 713-780.
All right, I got it.
ESPN.
All right.
There was no bad body language, none of that, which I am proud of. But we got to play better. We got to stop the run. That was I've never, you know, with a conventional offense, you know, save for a triple option team or something like that, I've never seen us give up so many rush yards. And then obviously we've got to do better in the red zone and on fourth down on offense. But, you know, we're our own worst enemy right now. I told our guys to never get used to this feeling, but that, you know, if we all thought that we were going to come in here and in 9 months sprinkle some fairy dust on this team and think that we've arrived, then we're wrong. And the only way we know how to fix things is to work harder.
I don't know he was saying anything about the players there.
Well, he didn't have his. We can't come in here and sprinkle pixie dust on this. He didn't. I don't think that was in the quotes that we just played. But that's what he said.
Yeah. No, he did. He said in 9 months.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. And he's. But
he didn't. Fred, did you get the idea 3 months ago that Tom Herman needed pixie dust? Because he seemed pretty happy with what he got, what he had, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So this is the exact quote from Urban Meyer when he heard what Tom Herman said, and he told CBS's Dennis Dodd, "Come on, man. I don't know where that came from. It's like a new generation of excuse." Quote, "I can't rub pixie dust on this thing," end quote. He got a dose of reality. Maryland just scored 51 points on you. And then he goes on to say, players read that. And then he was asked For what it's worth, I guess Tom Herman said before he got beat by Maryland that the Texas wasn't a top 25 team. So that's kind of the extent of what Urban Meyer said after Tom Herman's quotes.
Okay.
Well, it's look, man, it's an adjustment period for everybody. It's going to be an adjustment for Tom. The difference is, and just like Kevin Sumlin had a lot of success at UH, but you know what? At UH, you can have more talent than everybody in your conference. And that's an advantage. If you're a good coach, and those guys are good coaches, you're going to win a lot of games like that. But right now, that's not the case. So, Mike says, I know he has a talented view, but talent at TU, I hear you guys talking the talent up, but what talent? UH has way more talent. They don't, Mike, and Mike, the Texas Tech fan. The reality is, as far as guys, it's recruits and everything else, all much more highly regarded. It doesn't mean they're better players.
No, it doesn't. But that's on the coaches, right?
And the truth is, there were a lot of guys off that UH team the last 2 years that have gone on to the NFL and either made practice squads or are playing for teams. So there was a lot of talent there. But they were also more talented than anybody else in their conference. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's...
when your old boss is calling you out and saying, hey, this ain't a great look, maybe you should listen.
No, but I do think, to Meyer's point, a lot of guys will use the first year as an excuse when they come into a new program. And to me, that's kind of BS. When you come in, and Texas is recruited pretty well. Now, maybe these guys are all busts, but Charlie recruited pretty well. There's players there.
He's doing okay.
And certainly you should be better than Maryland. And yeah, it's frustrating and you got your butt whipped. And, you know, but to make it sound like, well, we're not going to be able to fix it. They're going to get better as the season goes on. And about week 8, we're going to be saying, how the hell did they lose to Maryland?
Right.
I'm boldly predicting that. And I think maybe Meyer's overreacting just a little bit. So let's do one more. Tom. What's up? What's up, Tom? Hello.
Tom.
Go ahead. And never mind.
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah, I didn't
be there.
I didn't hear him bitching about the players in that, though. That's the thing.
Okay.
So.
How about this, though? Take some responsibility.
Well, yeah, that's obviously.
You know what else I didn't hear? I didn't hear, like, I've got to do a better job.
Right.
I heard a lot of, we need to play better. But I didn't hear a lot of, I need to coach better.
Well, and I'm still concerned. I still don't know how Todd Orlando's going to do in that league. I think it's a big step for him, too. And from what we saw week one, not so good. But
well, defense looks worse than it did last year.
Yeah, which is kind of – that's hard to imagine because they were pretty bad last year. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. By the way, your buddy Craig Carton has been suspended amid the investigation. You think he's ever on radio again?
Suspended? I think he's going to prison.
Probably, yeah. But I saw something today. Just kind of get a little baseball chatter in the American League. I think Jose Altuve is gaining a lot of traction in this MVP talk because I kind of went through and found a few today. And like Larry Brown Sports did their top five.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Jonathan Schoop of the Orioles fifth. Aaron Judge of the Yankees, fourth. Chris Sale, third. Mike Trout, second, which he's also a guy who's getting a lot of traction now.
Right.
And Jose Altuve, first.
It wouldn't shock me.
And his reasoning is that he's been so good for so long that people are finally starting to realize, hey, man, this guy's just a hell of a player. If he can keep it up here for the last month, I think that'd be pretty cool to see him win it.
I think it'd be cool, too.
If Mike Trout hadn't got hurt, I don't think he'd be winning it. But
yeah, well, and here's the other thing. If the Angels make the playoffs, suddenly that conversation's a little more interesting.
Yeah.
But if Altuve makes the playoffs and Trout doesn't, I don't know what the debate is. I mean, if you asked me pre-All-Star break, I thought Aaron Judge was in line to be the MVP because he was on pace to hit 50 something home runs. He was in the top three in, I think, every triple count crown category. He may have been leading two of the three triple crown categories, and also was leading the league in runs scored. And then his second half has not been nearly as good. So I think he's all but out of the mix. I think it's down to Altuve, Sale, and Trout. And when you're a pitcher, I mean, you've got to have a phenomenal year. And you also have to hope that there's not position players that are also having phenomenal years. And Chris Sale, make no mistake, he's the best pitcher in baseball this year. He's been ridiculous. But when you look and when you take a look at the final numbers and you say, well, at this point, it's unlikely he's going to win 20 games unless he gets a win in every remaining start this season. So he'll have less than 20 wins. He has 7 losses right now. I don't know that that's the kind of numbers that are going to get you an MVP. I said before a couple weeks ago, if he gets to 300 strikeouts, that's going to put him in the conversation because that's just such an absurd number to reach, and he's 30 away from that. But I still don't know if that's going to be quite enough. And if you asked me today, gun to head, who's my AL MVP, it's Jose Altuve.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think for a pitcher to win it, he's got to have a year like Verlander had when he won.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be.
It has to be a perfect storm. And I mean, that means the wins have to come too. And it's not like you can look at the record in the games that Sales pitched, and they win way more often than they lose, but you still need those W's in the column, and he hasn't always gotten those. Somebody mentions Corey Kluber, and Corey Kluber's been really good too, but I think he's a step behind Chris Sale. So I don't know. I'm of the belief that right now it's Altuve's to lose. Unless he just has a horrible last month, I think he's the guy.
713-780-ESPN is your number. We come back, we'll have Christopher Harris. So if you've got fantasy questions, text them to the show, and we'll pose them to Christopher. Make sure that not just this guy over that guy thing, because his rankings are on his website. You can go get that there. But just good general questions that would apply to a lot of people. We'll be happy to share them.
Let's also remember in some cases, you know, when these people who give out the awards, they don't love to give out multiple award, like they don't love to give repeat winners unless it's just unquestionable. You know what I mean? Like we got to the point where they were giving, they refused to give LeBron another MVP trophy, and that's a different sport, but it's the same people voting basically. It's just a bunch of writers. But I think that may hurt Mike Trout, and Jose Altuve's never won one before. I think it would be really cool to see, and in a year like this with what the Astros have done, I think it would be well deserved, especially given that when the other two guys, remember about a month into the season, a month and a half, they were saying there's 3 legit MVP candidates on the Astros, and 2 of them got hurt. Yeah. And Jose Altuve kept raking. All right, guys, got to tell you about DraftKings. You've been waiting since February 6th. And it's finally here. It starts up tonight. There's no better way to get closer to the game you love than with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football. DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest this Sunday that's totally free to enter. If you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. There's so many ways to play with DraftKings. You can do head-to-head. You can do a big public contest with tons of cash prizes or a private contest amongst you and your buddies. The best part of it is, you draft a new team every week. There's no commitment. Get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Houston to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. That's promo code Houston to play for your shot to win $1 billion this Sunday. Contest is free to enter. Why wouldn't you try it? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And you know what that music means? It's the return of our good friend Christopher Harris. Runs harrisfootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at harrisfootball. And the fantasy genius of the planet. And it's been a while, Christopher. Good to hear you, man. How's it going?
It's going, man. I'm excited. We actually have a football that counts. I'm very, very tired of football that doesn't count.
Yeah, well, that's tonight's the night, man. I noticed you got Tom Brady as your top quarterback for the week, too. So I'm guessing if you're playing daily fantasy, that's your guy.
Well, it's expensive, though, too. You know, for DFS, it's there's a lot of good choices. You know, I don't mind a lot of guys. Because if you're spending less money on a Carson Wentz or something like that, then you can spend more money on someone else. I have to say, though, on my podcast today, I think I have Big Ben and Antonio Brown, so the most expensive quarterback and the most expensive wide receiver on DraftKings. So I splurged.
I've been telling people, you know, if you'd like to have Tom Brady, or you'd like to have Ben Roethlisberger, and the price is really high on those guys, at least for, especially in Brady's case, as long as Gronk is healthy, I think it's almost smarter to invest in Gronk and go cheaper at quarterback, because don't you feel like if Tom Brady's going to have a lot of early success, it's going to be on Gronk's back?
Could be, but, you know, if you believe in Gronk, I think we all believe he exists, but, you know, if you believe in his production and he's healthy, then doubling up sounds good to me. You know, that's kind of how you win those GPPs. You know, you've win the big pools on DraftKings or do well by, you know, doubling up and sometimes tripling up. If you say, hey, I think the Eagles are an interesting play against Washington this week, maybe you go Wentz, Ertz, and Alshon Jeffrey, right? This sort of the unexpected triple up is sometimes how those things are won.
What do you, how do you feel about Denver's backfield with, C.J. Anderson, those guys? Do you trust anybody there? Is that because obviously new coach and everything? How do you approach that?
It feels like the seas sort of parted for C.J. Anderson this summer. Boy, I mean, I thought it was a three-headed monster, maybe a four-headed monster because they drafted that kid D'Angelo Henderson. But it's, you know, Devontae Booker shows up to training camp and his wrist is broken and has to have surgery, and Jamaal Charles looked okay in the third week of preseason but didn't do a lot otherwise. So I guess if I'm going to trust anybody, it's Anderson, and there's just not a lot of trustworthy running backs. I had a hard time keeping Anderson out of my starting area for running backs for this week. I mean, especially because we're going to miss two teams that we weren't expecting to miss. So, I mean, I think Anderson at worst is a running back two. You could make an argument he's an RB1, and I don't love the matchup. I think the Chargers have a pretty good defense, but until I see something from Charles and until I see Booker come back or Henderson do something, feels like it's Anderson.
Well, we always have to ask you about the local squad, and I noticed in your quarterback rankings that Tom Savage did not make your top 25. Is Lamar Miller pretty much it, and maybe DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, I think Hopkins is just fine as well. I mean, to some degree, that's a feeling like what I saw for a game and a half before Savage got hurt last year was when he was at his best, it was playing the check down game. It was, you know, just sort of being controlled. It feels like you can do that against Jacksonville. I don't know that I imagine a ton of points are going to get scored on the other side. So when O'Brien has had really great defenses, and this looks like another really great defense, and when he's had a quarterback he hasn't really trusted, which I'll at least say the last year and maybe before that, I've seen him essentially play the check down game. Let's try to win a bunch of games 17-10. And to me, that doesn't sound like a big recipe for a big usage game for Savage, which doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, I'll give the points. Let's put it that way.
What do you do with these Patriots receivers? Do you think Brandon Cooks is going to have a big year? Or how do you see that playing out, especially with Edelman gone?
Yeah, that's maybe the primary thing I'm interested in tonight, in seeing who lines up where. I think that's foundationally, we just haven't seen them line up without Edelman. And of course, he's a 90% slot guy. Last year, Chris Hogan was about a one-third of the time slot guy. Brandon Cooks, probably a little bit less than that in New Orleans. And then, they have Danny Amendola, and he is a slot player, but he's so injury prone. I have to imagine they know if they try to give him Edelman's workload, that won't work out. Malcolm Mitchell apparently was just taken out of the running. They just put him on IR about an hour ago. So Philip Dorsett's there. He hasn't learned the offense. I wouldn't think he's much of a factor. Hogan is the one I have my eye on, other than Cooks. I mean, I think you're acquiring Cooks to run him out of the slot is sort of like stabling a racehorse. He's going to be a little up and down because that's what he is. He's a deep threat. He's a big play guy. There are going to be weeks where he doesn't make a big play, but for sure he's an every week start just because of the boom potential. I'm interested to see, okay, maybe they try to run Dorsett a little bit on the outside just to have the luxury of putting Hogan in the slot. If they do, I mean, he's not Edelman. He's not quick like that, but he has a bigger body. He can take a hit over the middle. Really good hands, sort of a reliable route runner. That's certainly, if we see Hogan like 80% in the slot and playing about 80% of snaps, that's going to get my attention for sure.
There's a handful of teams that I've tried to avoid owning their running backs. Maybe you can help out and just give, if I throw a team out, you give which one of the running backs you'd most want to own. But Cincinnati, Baltimore, Seattle, what are you doing? New England, what are you doing with those teams? And New Orleans, too. What are you doing with those teams at running back? Who's your priority on those teams?
Well, give them to me one at a time because I already forgot them. I'm very stupid.
All right, let's go Seattle first.
Oh, that's the hardest one. I mean, it really is a four-headed monster. I don't mind owning Chris Carson, the rookie, you know, just shove him at the end of the bench. If I can avoid starting any of them this week, I would, though, because I just don't know how it's going to work out. I don't believe Pete Carroll when he says who's healthy and who's not.
Let's go with New Orleans.
I'm going to say Ingram over Peterson, although maybe not this week. This is narrative street. You know, we got Adrian Peterson, a New Orleans Saint, going back to Minnesota. It feels like a big FU. Sean Payton is going to say, hey, league, hey, world, look how smart I am, and give him 8 touchdowns. But over the course of the season, I trust Ingram more.
New England?
I say Gillisley, even though I don't think it's anybody who's going to perform like LeGarrette Blount did last year. I think it's going to be a totally split job. But the one who's likeliest to get the short touchdowns is Gillisley.
Baltimore?
Yeah, I don't want any of them. I mean, I don't know anybody on the offensive line other than Ronnie Stanley. I'm staying away if I can. If you're in a point per reception league, it feels like Danny Woodhead should be fairly safe. But he's 32 coming off a torn ACL, pulled a hamstring in training camp. Like, I don't really know if I could stay away, I would.
And the one that I've had the most trouble with and one that I've actually invested in, and I've got a small piece of all three of these guys in my portfolio, but Cincinnati.
I'm going to say Mixon. I feel strongly that eventually Joe Mixon is very clearly the best player in that backfield. And I actually think all of this, he's third on the depth chart before the before the season starts. I think it's a bunch of sort of nominal nodding to veterans. I think he's going to play plenty. It's funny because I think you guys remember, I mean, I've been sort of down on Jeremy Hill fantasy-wise his whole career. He's a touchdown maker. He's sort of a big dude, the hippo on roller skates, I call him. Like, not a lot of lateral quickness there. And yet, the market fell so out of in love with him that I actually was telling everybody on my podcast, like, draft him in the 11th round, sure. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. So, in week one, would I be shocked if it's a Jeremy Hill game? I wouldn't. I still don't think I'd want to start him, though. I think if I'm starting anyone there, it's Mixon. But if you want to stay away, I get it.
Two running backs that I've seen have dropped and are going way later in drafts than I would think, mostly because I feel like these two teams or these two guys are going to get the majority of their workload. But I feel like Rob Kelly and Paul Perkins are both maybe going underdrafted since it seems like they are without much competition.
Well, I wish they were better players.
Fair enough.
My concern is, well, the Giants are it's the same offensive line, and Perkins had a chance to take that job over from Rashad Jennings last year and didn't do it. He's one of those Amir Abdullah types where a ton of quickness. I'm not sure he's got a ton of long speed and just not a lot of size. So I think at some point maybe it just doesn't translate to a really strong running game. I don't think the Giants just are that inclined to run. And when it comes to Washington, the guy they let go, Matt Jones, is a far superior athlete. Rob Kelly may be the worst athlete playing running back in the NFL. He's not fat anymore, I guess, but he's just not a dynamic player. He's a big dude who can fall forward. And then it's funny because that's their profile, I guess, because they drafted another one of those in Samaje Perine out of Oklahoma. So I got to be honest. I mean, in a point per reception league, the one I want to play is Chris Thompson.
That's Christopher Harris, runs harrisfootball.com. Follow him on Twitter, at harrisfootball. And you've got the podcast and everything else going on, right? Not just rankings and website. You're doing something every day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not very easy to make a good living off of rankings and websites. But podcasts pay pretty well. I have a – now it's six episodes per week. We got a sixth one going on Wednesday afternoons. I know you guys would like it because we do a little handicapping talk. We pick all the games.
We don't know anything about that.
That's right. So Harris Football, harrisfootball.com is where the podcasts are, and follow me on Twitter. You'll get to learn where all that stuff is pretty quick.
Awesome. Christopher, as always, great talking with you. Good to have you back, and enjoy the game tonight and the first week.
Thank you very much. You guys, too. Thanks to everybody down. I hope everybody down there is doing okay. We're thinking of you for sure.
Thank you, sir. All right, guys, got to tell you what's going on Saturday, September 23rd. The Kima Boardwalk and 24 breweries are inviting you to spend a day sampling over 72 of the best craft beers out there from breweries like Avery, Ballast Point, Brooklyn, Lagunitas, New Belgium, and a bunch of locals as well like Carbach, St. Arnold, Spindletap, and Texas Beer Refinery. There's so much good beer out there. You can buy tickets now for $44.95 in advance. They're $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or you have a military ID, and they're $49.95 the day of the event, so it's worth it to get in early. Your admission includes beer samples, of course, plus giveaways from beer vendors and food samples, and there's live music all day long. Spasmatics from 2 to 6 p.m. and Midnight Release from 6 to 10 p.m. You can get tickets at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths at the Kema Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase, and of course, you must be 21 years of age to attend. That's Saturday, September 23rd from 2 to 5 p.m., the Kema Craft Beer Fest. For more details, KemaBeerFest.com.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. AJ, I have some bad news for you.
For me personally?
Yes, and for Jong, because...
You're quitting the show.
No, that would be good news for you guys. You'd be happy to be rid of me, I'm sure.
I'm quitting the show.
No, that's not it. Okay. Airbnb surveyed 2,000 people to try to figure out the optimum age for boredom and excitement.
Okay.
And according to their research, you will be at your most boring when you get to 39 years old.
Oh, I'm getting close.
Yeah, you're sneaking up on that. Jong's got a little time.
Can you imagine that, me getting more boring than I am already? Like, I don't do anything exciting. I'm pretty lame.
Oh, I think you do more different kind of exciting stuff than you give yourself credit for. I mean, you still beat the crap out of people. You travel all over the state to get barbecue. That's kind of fun.
That's true.
I
guess if that's what you consider fun.
Well, but I'm old, so to me, everything you young guys do is exciting.
Okay.
But it says apparently 27 is the age at which people are most likely to be trekking across the desert, dancing on bar counters, or taking up base jumping. People become more dull as they take on increased responsibilities in their 30s. That makes sense. However, and this is good news for me, after 50, all this changes and people become more open to new experiences again.
Nice.
Which makes sense also, because by then, like, my kids are essentially grown now. So, you know, I can go back to having fun.
Okay.
So in a few years, I will be less boring than you. When you get to 39, you will be more boring.
I look forward to that.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN. Just thought I'd share that.
Thank you.
Figured you'd want to know. And Jong's still got a long way to go. But
yeah,
he's going to get married and have kids.
Jong's in his prime.
Yeah. and then have to deal with that. It's
but he'll catch up to him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Actually, I think Jong's going to be a good father. I'm gonna make that prediction right now. That's a Fred Fowler guarantee. When there's little Jongs running around, I think you're going to do a good job.
Terrified. I hope so.
I'm not so sure. I don't know that I trust Jong.
If they end up with a chicken on their head, then, you know, that's
gonna yeah, well.
You know, that's going to be bad.
Well, especially if they're infants and you've got chickens on their head.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you feed them alcohol at that age, then I retract my prediction. I think the first time I ever had alcohol was like 6. My uncle gave me some Pearl beer, and I thought it was the nastiest thing ever, and I've never drank Pearl since.
Yeah, I don't know when the first time I did. I'm sure it was relatively young. Back then, like, you know, your dad tells you to try it. I mean, my dad was a whiskey man, so that was probably my first taste of booze was whiskey.
And then by the time I was 15.
Probably Crown Royal, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his go-to?
That's his go-to. Still. Now it's more Crown Black or Crown Reserve. But back then it was Purple Sack Crown.
Honestly, I'm not sure I tried actual alcohol.
Like liquor?
Yeah, until my early 20s.
Really?
Yeah, because, well, for one thing, we were poor as crap. So, man, it was Mad Dog 2020 and Schlitz malt liquor was about all we could afford. So that's all I drank when I was in. Yeah. Hey, man.
Do what works.
We were... Especially,
it got you there, right?
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But when I was, when I was in college, I was working a lot, and I just drank beer. And then, I don't know when I first tried whiskey, but I'm pretty much a whiskey guy now.
All right, guys. You know what what kind of guy I am, Fred? I'm a boxing guy. I love it. And there's some good stuff coming up Saturday night. I'm going to butcher the name, but I'll try it anyway. Srisaket Sorum Visai. I don't know if I'm saying that right, the first name anyway. I know Sorum Visai is the last name. I couldn't get that guy's name right. I've seen him fight a couple times. I still have no idea. He's taking on a guy I do know, Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, who's 46-1. And Sorum Visai beat him, quote fingers, last time they fought earlier in the year. And that was Chocolatito's first loss. Really, really questionable decision. And if... You know, Chocolatito is still one of the pound-for-pound top guys in the world, but now he's the challenger here. Is he's trying to get his title back. We can see that coming up on Saturday night, September 9th. It's a big night of boxing on HBO. First, you'll see the fights, 9:15 Central Time. It's a must-see super flyweight triple header featuring that championship rematch between Sorum Visai and Chocolatito. And then after that, don't miss 24/7 Canelo Golovkin. It's the final installment of 24/7 Canelo Golovkin before they get it on next Saturday, September 16th. So make sure you tune into HBO on Saturday night for Sorum Visai Chocolatito 2 and the final installment of 24/7 Canelo Golovkin, and it's only on HBO.